Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for His goodness. A shameless plug again with Summer Hunger. I was not paid by Pastor Spencer and Madison to announce it twice, but I do encourage each of you to find yourself at Summer Hunger. All the services, praise God. If not, at the very least, come to a service, because I believe what Jesus said is true. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, what shall be filled? And I am a firm believer that our spiritual nutrition is never God's fault, but it's our hunger and our desire's fault. So we are filled by what we are hungry for. And I believe that if we this summer catch a deeper hunger for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, we will walk away being spiritually nutritious in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. As she said, I'm Pastor Cody. My wife, Micah, she's on the front row. Say, hey, Micah. There you go. Greet her, everybody. Met all of you at once. No, we are youth pastors at the Well Scottsboro. We've been on staff there for 5 years, but I've been going for 12 or 13 years. I forget the number, but been there a long time. Got saved in the youth group that Pastor Spencer and Madison eventually took over, and then finally they released it to us in 2020. We're just so honored to be here this morning with you guys. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I am excited, and I believe God has some good things in store for us to unpack in Scripture, to dig into. But before we do that, it is the second Sunday. Say, second Sunday. It's the second Sunday, so we are going to read the Apostles' Creed. They're going to put that on the screen for us this morning so we can read it together. Let me put my water down there. We're going to read it together. I'm going to turn around, and we're going to read it. If you could stand with me and then stay standing as we open up with a scripture in the Word of God. We're going to read this. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was convicted by the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Come on, you can stay standing as we open up with a scripture before we dive into the passages that we're going to go into. We're going to open up with Psalms 61, 1 through 2. I believe they will have this on the screen. I can read it. You don't have to repeat after me this time. It says, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. Verse 2, it says, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word that is everlasting. I thank you for your spirit that is dwelling amongst us right now. I thank you for the church that is assembled together as the body of Christ. And I thank you that we believe in the word. We trust you, Holy Spirit. And I ask that in this moment, these next 30, 45 minutes, we would begin to find truths in your scripture that are revealed by the Holy Spirit. And we would not just be able to understand them, but we would walk away with an arsenal, God, things in our shepherd's bag so we can go beyond today and learn how to live and obey the word of God so we can then minister it to those that we're around, wherever we may find ourselves. So God, I ask from the first to the last in this room, the youngest to the oldest, the one that seems to be at the best spiritual place or maybe at the place where they seem they're so lost and confused, I ask wherever we may find ourselves this morning, we would find answers and the solution in your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So as in the book of Psalms, it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, can I get, like last time I was here, y'all have to raise a hand. Anybody testify? You've had a season, a moment, a second, a year long. You've had moments in your life where your heart just simply seemed to be overwhelmed, right? There's times in life that we seem to not be able to grasp or understand what is going on, where we may not understand what tomorrow holds because of what yesterday held that didn't seem too promising. But this morning, each of us may find the position of our heart, the understanding in our mind, to be in a different place than we feel like it needs to be. But this morning, I believe when our heart is overwhelmed, Our mind is without understanding. I believe we can look to the Lord, cry and pray to him this morning. And I believe his hand will come down, and like the good shepherd he is, he will lead us to a place, to a rock that is higher than the place we're sitting in right now. Amen? Amen. Who wants to be led by the good shepherd this morning? I believe this morning he wants to lead us. So this morning, we are going to talk about a topic. We're going to put a title on it about being overwhelmed in the unknown. Overwhelmed in the unknown. And many of you look at that word unknown and you begin to get a little anxious. You begin to get a little frazzled because we like to know things, right? We like to know. Who in here likes to know what you're having for lunch after this? You just have to know, especially those that didn't eat breakfast. You scurried out of the house to get here by 10 a.m., slept until 9, but you're here. You made it. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't care. I just want to eat something. It does not matter, but when I get there, it has to be a very specific thing that I order because I'm not picky. I'm specific. Anybody not picky? But you're very specific. There's a difference in that. So I believe this morning we can look at that word unknown and begin to see that that word that seems to be so scary and concerning, just like the mountain that we see on the screen, it seems like a taxing thing. It seems like an exhausting thing, an overwhelming thing to climb the peak of that mountain. And not only does many times God call us to climb the peak of that mountain, many times he puts a cave at the top of it that we do not know what's on the inside of it. He says, hey, seek me and you will find me, but you have no idea what you're about to find. Hey, trust me, step out of the boat like Peter, and you don't know if you're going to begin to take the first step and walk on water. As many times in the faith, God calls us to do something that may seem to the natural eye overwhelming and may seem to our own intellect and our mind an unknown situation. But I believe this morning as we read the word of God, we can look at these things and not be overwhelmed and be okay when we don't know it all. Amen. I'm a believer that the one that thinks he knows it all may not know God at all because we have a preconceived idea and knowledge of what our life may hold. But life is not found by our own efforts, but it's already written in the book. It's already written in God's thoughts and plans for our life. And this morning, we can unveil it and unpack it so we can walk out of here with knowledge. Amen. Amen. So the unknown, we're going to dive into this. We're going to go into two different passages. We're going to hopefully get through this first one fairly quickly, but just to give some insight on that word unknown and maybe give some foundation of where we're going to go into today. We're going to start in Acts 17, 22 through 34. I may not read all of it, but I may jump through a few different things. But to give some backstory, this is a story of the Apostle Paul, and he is going to the region and the place of Athens, not Athens, Alabama. It's not that, trust me, he did not come to Athens, Alabama. He was in the place in Athens, and he's speaking amongst this people, and he notices that they are people that are very religious. They're religious people. They serve a lot of gods. They have a lot of idols, and they're seeking truth, but they're not actually walking in truth. And Paul comes along, and it says this, and Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering objects of your worship, and I even found an altar with the inscription saying this, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all and breath and all things. And he has made us from one blood, every nation of men, to dwell on all the face of the earth. And has determined the pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far away from each of us. For in him we live and move and we have our being." So Paul right now is unpacking a situation to where this community of religious people, this people in Athens, they are believing in many gods. They're believing in many things. They're hoping and trying to find a source of truth in their life and find the answers to all their problems. And Paul finds an inscription on a place, and it says, "To the unknown God." To an unknown God. So obviously there's other gods they were serving that were not providing the answers that they needed. And just to give some historical background, there is a Cretan poet and a seer named, I'm going to see if I can get this right, Epimetheus, 600 BC, and he actually made the altar and inscribed on it, "To the unknown God." 600 plus years before this, a man, because of a plague that hit that place of Athens, inscribed on an altar to the unknown God. And what I find interesting about this historical fact, about what this seer did, is he inscribed on it to the unknown God, hoping that it would bring answers and take away the plague. And it said the way they made these altars is they would send the sheep of the community into the hills. And wherever those sheep would lay down and rest, they would build an altar there to the unknown God. And now Paul is saying, hey, that one that you didn't know you were making an altar to, he's the one true God. All these other idols that we serve out of our own knowledge and our own intellect and our own understanding, all of these other things are false, but the one that you didn't even know, he's the one that is the good shepherd. He is the one that is sitting on the hill higher than you. He is the one that is making a place beside the sheep of the pasture, and he is the one that is near to you and I. And I believe this morning, if we find ourselves, we may not have idols in our home. We may say, no, we're all Christians. I believe we're all in this room. We are Christians. We're Bible believing. We believe in the one true God. But I believe many times because we walk through a season of the unknown, we begin to try to fix things in our own intellect and knowledge. We try to fix things in and of our own strength and our own hands. And I believe this morning, we can find a place of not walking in the unknown, and trying to find answers in and of ourselves, but we can, in the midst of the unknown, truly find out the one that truly knows us. Amen. This was maybe a month or two before my wife and I got married. We were stressed. We didn't even know what stress was then. We thought we were stressed. And look, and you're like, we didn't have bills yet. We didn't have responsibility yet. We didn't have children yet, but we were stressed, right? We were stressed. Who in here remembers those times that you were stressed and now you're like, I'll take that. I'll take that season right now. But in that moment, it's what the Lord knew we could handle, and it's what he knew would take for us to get to the place that we needed to get to. But I remember we were talking and we were like, where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? How are we going to pay for this? What's the wedding going to look like? And she began to say, and we begin to look at the situation, like, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And we were on the front porch at her parents' house because we couldn't go anywhere else alone. We were walking pure and holy as much as we could. And our pastor is her father-in-law. So we had to make sure we stayed on the front porch and didn't go anywhere else. So, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said this. He says, in the seasons of the unknown, it's where we have opportunity to unveil secrets of the unknown. It's in the moments that we don't know what to do, we are prime candidates to find out what God wants us to do. It's when we can't understand it in our own selves and begin to fix it with our own hands is the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come down in spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the Word of God and give us revelation. Say revelation. Revelation isn't this far-reaching thing that we may attain one day in heaven. Revelation is the revealing of the plan and heart of God, birthed through Scripture and walking in the Spirit. That's what revelation is. And each of us in this room, are you breathing? Are you seeing? Are you hearing? Some better than most. We have opportunity this morning, in the midst of what we don't know yet, walk in the spirit of revelation and understanding by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. So the unknown, seasons of the unknown, may think, what does that look like? Some of you, you don't know when the next bill's coming. You don't know when you're going to be able to pay it. Some of you, you don't know when that promotion's coming. Some of you, you don't know if that relationship's going to last. Some of you, you don't know when the healing's going to come or if there's a healing going to be needed. Some of you this morning think the worst of your tomorrow and don't know what tomorrow holds. Many of you, who in here would attest, you have something in your life, whether it has been, currently is, or maybe you see it will be, that you just don't know what's going on. You don't know the full answer to. You don't know the solution to. Many of us have, are, or will walk in seasons of the unknown. And what is crazy about the unknown is a vacancy that is destined to have an occupancy. And how we handle the unknown determines what fills the space. We walk through a season that we don't know what's going on. We walk through a season that seems crazy. It's designed and destined to be filled with something. And how we handle that season determines what it's filled with two things, either clarity or clutter. Who in here knows what it's like to have your life filled full of clutter? I do. mind full of clutter, heart full of clutter, finances full of clutter. Everything seems to be out of whack and out of place. And it's in those times that we try to hurry up and scurry and get it all perfectly figured out when we could pause, be still, and know that He is God. And He will begin to show us how to take the clutter and make it bring clarity, peace rather than chaos. Who here wants to trade your clutter for clarity? Chaos for peace. This morning, I believe we can do that as we dive in to some scriptures this morning. A space of clarity, it's efficient and it's effective. A space of clutter, it's deficient and it's destructive for our life. I believe we can get rid of those things that are causing deficiencies and destruction in our life. And we can find a place of walking in the Spirit efficiently and effectively in His Word and in His kingdom. So we're going to go to our main passage this morning in the book of Daniel. Say Daniel. Who in here has read any portion of the book of Daniel? It's a pretty awesome book. I love it. You can just dive in and find out so much in the midst of it. Find faithful men of God who stood the test that was in front of them, and they were found faithful no matter what was thrown their way. So the book of Daniel, we're going to turn there, chapter 2. We're going to dive into a few different things. All right, so chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now in the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave a command to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said, 'I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream.'" So the king right now is presenting and walking through a season of the unknown, a season that's causing chaos, a moment that's causing distress, something that's causing an unsettling in his spirit. Not only is he carrying it, he's presenting it to someone else. Have you ever been presented with someone else's problems and had no idea how to help them? Some of you, you may not be walking into a season of unknown, but God wants to use you to help someone else through that season. So there's really only two people in this room, those that are walking through it or those that are supposed to help someone else walk through it. And if you don't know how to answer, you're probably the first one because you don't have revelation of what your tomorrow holds and how you can be used of God. We need to find ourselves in the midst of living life casually, learn how to live life intentionally by the word of God. So this king is going through a season of the unknown. It says, "Then the Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic, 'O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give it the interpretation.' Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'My decision is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be cut into pieces, your houses shall be made a ash heap. And however, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation.' And they answered the king and said, 'Let the king tell his servant the dream, and he will give its interpretation.'" He goes on, and he refuses their request. Who in here would be stressed right now in this moment as a good old Chaldean and a wise man that was chosen by the king? And he says, "Hey, interpret my dream." "Oh, we can interpret dreams. I know how to see it and kind of give an analogy or an illustration." He said, "No, I want you to tell me the dream and its interpretation. And if you don't, my boy's sharpening a sword backstage, and he's ready to cut you up." Who in here would be stressed? Knees buckling, shaking, ready to just run. Leave and flee to Athens, maybe. I don't know. Athens, Alabama. No. No, this moment is full of the unknown that is birthing a lot of concern. It's full of a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, and it has no answers and promises to it other than, if by chance you can tell me the dream, then you'll get promoted, then you'll get to the place you would like to be, then you'll get delicacies and riches and honor. There's promises tied to it, but the consequences seem more dangerous. And these wise men try to hound the king, saying, "No, just change it." He says, "My decision's firm. I'm not telling you the dream." We're going to jump down to verse 10. It says, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, 'There is not a man on earth who can tell the kings its matters. Therefore, no king, no lord, no ruler has ever asked such a great thing from any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean.'" 11, "It is a difficult thing that the king requests." We're going to pause there. It's a difficult thing. Many of us in this room have, are, or expect one day to walk through a difficult situation. Anybody's walked through a difficult thing, raise your hand. There you go. And if you haven't raised your hand, not saying you're lying, but you've walked through a difficult situation in life and you did not know what to do. Young, old, feel like you have wisdom or not, we all walk through things in life that we simply do not know what to do. The right decision, the right answer, the right step. Do I say yes? Do I say no? It looks like an open door, but then it slaps me in the face closed. Life is full of these things called tests and trials that we all, believer or not, go through. But how we handle it determines how we go through it. How we handle it determines if we just get beat up in the midst of it or we get promoted in the midst of it. We're not going to get cut up into pieces by making the wrong decision like these Chaldeans. But if we make the wrong decision, we won't get to the right place at the right time. And I believe that in the midst of this story, we can unpack some things that can help us in the seasons that we seem to be confused about, we don't know the right answer about. We desire to have the wisdom of God to make the right decisions in the midst of it. So verse 11, it's a difficult thing. We're all walking through difficult things today. We're all walking through difficult seasons. It says, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. Whose dwelling is not with the flesh. We're going to pause there. And we're going to, what I believe is they were saying something they did not know they were saying. Because according to John 1, y'all ready to go to John 1 real fast? You can write it down if you need to. Might be on the screen for us. But they said, it is impossible to fulfill the request that you're giving me. It's impossible in my own intellect. It's impossible in my own understanding. They're accepting defeat and trying to find excuses to get around the issue. And they make a bold statement saying, only gods whose dwelling is not with flesh can give the answer that you need, King. According to John 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14 says this. It says, and the Word became flesh. Say flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So these Chaldeans are saying only a God that can't dwell with the flesh can give the answer. But we find in John 1 that our God didn't just come and dwell in the midst of flesh. He put on flesh. He didn't just come and dwell in a spiritual being that seems so far-reaching and so impossible to walk in. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to not just come in the midst of flesh, but to come as flesh to show us that it's possible to walk in relationship with God in the spirit, in the flesh. So these Chaldeans did not understand. They were saying something that would one day prove that God is the one true God. That he is the only one that was high and lifted up in the beginning, created all things, and then was sent to the earth to show us how to live and ultimately to die on a cross, take our sins, rise again by the Spirit, so we can then walk in the Spirit as he walked in the Spirit. I believe this morning we can look to the one true God, amen, to find understanding, to find revelation, to know how we ought to walk through the seasons of the unknown. So they said, it's impossible to give this. The gods, their dwelling is not with the flesh. For this very reason, the king was angry, very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out. They began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill him. We're going to jump to verse 17. It says, then Daniel, after the decree's been made, after he hears that there's a great slaughter of all the wise men because the king's angry, says, Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God, the God of heaven, concerning this secret. So Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So in this moment, we say a picture, a storyline painted perfectly of three people. Put your hands up and make number three if you can do that. I just want to see who all did it differently. Brandon does it like this. That means he's like full of wisdom and full of like, Tanner's doing it too. Let's go. Who did it like this? Doing a little survey time. All right, let's go. All of you are paying for dinner after this. No, these three people, you have King Nebuchadnezzar, we'll call him King Nebi. We have the Chaldeans and the wise men. And then we have Daniel and his companions. All three people walked into the same situation. All three people, put the sermon graphic up, please, if you don't mind. All three people looked at the same mountain. They saw the same cave. They had the same mission. They had the same goal to find something that they did not know. To understand a secret that could not be revealed in and of themselves. All three of them walked through the same situation, the same circumstance, but I guarantee you this, according to scripture, all three had different results because all three went to different places. All three relied on different things. Whatever it is you find yourself walking in this morning, I want you to close your eyes right now because I don't want this just to be a sermon out of the book of Daniel. I don't want just this to be a thing that the Lord gave me and hopefully you grab it and pick it up. I want this to be so personally applied and inscribed on the heart and the mind of your life that you walk away knowing that it's speaking to you personally and individually. Close your eyes right now. I want you to think, even if it hurts, because it sometimes hurts before there's healing. What is it right now, or maybe in your past, or maybe your expectation of your future that you see is that mountain? And it's that cave at the top of that mountain. Maybe it's, will the prodigal ever come home? Will what was stolen ever be returned? Will salvation actually come to my family? Will revival actually come to this region? Will promotion come from work? Will forgiveness come from that sin that I feel like I can't let go of? Will the child be born? Will hearts be mended? Will my relationship with my father actually come back? Whatever it is that you find yourself in so personally right now, I want you to take these next few moments and take what is being spoken by the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to that great mountain that He's calling you to climb. And you can look at that cave and you don't have to be concerned, confused, but you can trust that whatever's in that cave is of His kingdom to be seen and revealed. Amen. So these three people all walked through it. But let's go through, how did the king handle this situation? The king, the first thing, he grew anxious. He says, my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Anxiety is typically birthed by what we know or what we don't know. We know something that's traumatic, or we don't know something that would actually help us. Anxiety is birthed inside of this king. His spirit grows anxious because of the unknown situation. He gets anxious. He lost sleep. If you're tossing and turning at night, it's because you're trying to micromanage and figure out the answer in and of yourself. What I find interesting, the king lost sleep, but you go to Daniel and his companions. They have the same thing. The king has an advantage. He knows the dream. The king has advantage. The king in this moment has more knowledge than the Chaldeans and Daniel and his companions. He knows the dream, just needs the interpretation. Daniel doesn't know the dream, doesn't know the interpretation, and has been given a task that is impossible in and of himself to accomplish. The king, because of the issue, was anxious and lost sleep at night. Daniel was approached with the same issue. And look at what Daniel and his friends did. Did they lose sleep? No, because the answer was found in sleep. It says, in the night, God gave a vision. God gave a dream. So Daniel was faced with an opportunity to grow anxious, toss and turn in his lazy boy chair. But no, Daniel was like, tomorrow, if God doesn't answer, we're getting cut up, boys. If God doesn't answer, we're dying. Did he lose sleep? No, he did not. A very concerning matter was at hand, but they knew if we simply seek the God of heaven, the God of answers, the God of wisdom, the one true God, if we seek Him tonight and give it to Him, we can go asleep resting assured that if He wants to give the answer, He'll give it tonight in a dream. And we know what happened. God gave the answer in a dream, so the king grew anxious. He lost sleep. He became a threat and was angry, and he had urgency to his matter. And many of us, we grow anxious and urgent and feel like we have to make a quick decision because we don't know the answer. And who in here can attest? I can. When I make the quick decision out of anxiety, typically falls flat on his face. Me falling flat on my face. Finances falling flat on their face. Goals and dreams falling flat on their face. And if by chance, me making that quick decision out of anxiety happens to become successful, happens to last for a year or two, happens to actually look like it was the best decision, eventually I will think that I'm my own God and my decisions rule any other decision because it worked out once, but the end of it might lead to destruction. Let us humble ourselves this morning and call to the God of heaven like Daniel. So you have the king, he went through these things. The Chaldeans, they worshiped and flattered the king. It says at the beginning, it says, O king, live forever. So they're trying to twist the situation to show the king, hey, king, we're for you. Hey, king, we're going to flatter you, honor you. Would you help us with this dream so we can interpret it? They worshiped the wrong thing. They worshiped the wrong person. They exalted the source of the problem rather than seeking and worshiping the one with the answer. What does that look like for you and I? We have a problem at hand and we exalt it. We tell, this is what Pastor Greg says, if I get it right, we'll tell God how big our problems are instead of our problems how big our God is. We look at our problem and exalt it as God instead of diminishing our problem and say, it's nothing too big for my God. It is small in comparison to the wisdom he holds. It's small in comparison to what he's going to reveal. It's small in comparison to what he's going to give me to overcome it. By God, you can accomplish these things that are at hand. So they begin to give excuses. They begin to complain of its difficulty. And ultimately, because they handled the season of the unknown wrongly, they were defeated. Daniel, we're going to dive into this. This is key things that they did because we can find ourselves doing what the king and the Chaldeans did. But we don't want to walk away just knowing what not to do. We want to walk away knowing what to do in the midst of this story. Daniel, first thing he did, he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What does that look like? It means he sought companionship in the midst of the problems. You in and of yourself cannot find the solution to what you're going through. We stand alone, Christians and believers, cannot accomplish the kingdom of God. We can't advance the kingdom of God. We can't fully walk out our calling alone. Who in here enjoys doing life alone? Some of you like doing things alone because you want to do it right. Brandon doesn't want me breathing down his neck while he's fixing my motor. Even though last time you just had to FaceTime me, we fixed it, baby. I did it. Air high five. Let's go. Felt proud of myself. I felt like a mechanic, Brandon. Busted knuckles and everything. Walked in the house 10 o'clock at night. Oh, yeah. I'm a man. I didn't just fix a spark plug because you're like, spark plugs, those are easy, young snapper. No, the spark plug threads were stripped. Awkward angle. I had to re-thread it, the head of the motor, and it was terrible. It was terrible, Brandon. But thank you for the FaceTime wisdom. Amen. All right. Not sure how we got on that. But no, we do not need to do life alone. It's best done together. I'm not a know-it-all, and I will never be a know-it-all. God has blessed each of us with a different type of wisdom in his kingdom, a grace on your life for one another. And if we walk life alone, holding on to our problems, not letting anyone know, we can guarantee defeat. We can guarantee no full success. You need one another. We need one another in the kingdom. The unknown will remain unconquerable if we keep it unknown. You don't have to be alone. Find companions of faith to accomplish it. Matthew 18:20 says this. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What I love this is we are able to go to New Testament and Old Testament and find correlation with the book of Daniel and with the words Jesus spoke himself. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus. What you need to find is after this chapter two, a few chapters later, these companions were faced with the king breathing threats because they wouldn't bow down to the gold image that he created for them to worship. And these three people were faced with the same type of threat of death. and they rest assured knowing we will not bow down to the king, but us three guys will stand fast and worship the one true God that gives answers. They were, you know the story of the burning furnace. They were thrown into the furnace, those three, and at the end of it, because three were gathered in the name of Jesus, Jesus stepped into the situation. He stepped into the moment and saved them and proved to the king that he was the one true God. So what could happen in your specific situation and circumstance if you call to one or two or three or other people that are praying for you, that are there with you, that can help you in the midst of it? I'll tell you what will happen. Jesus will step on the scene. His spirit will come, his word will come, wisdom will come, and it will help you get to where you need to be. Amen. Surely there's enough people in this room to tackle any problem we may face. Surely there's enough people in this room that may help you in the midst of what you're going through. Natural, emotional, spiritual, financial, any aspect of your life. Trust me this, you do not, if it's your first time coming today, guess what? It doesn't need to be your last. You don't come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night to a church, not just this church, any church that believes the word of God, that believes in the name of Jesus. You don't come just to occupy a seat. You come to ultimately get to heaven to occupy it, but to usher in the kingdom of heaven to help occupy in the midst of one another, to help one another. It's not for a standalone walk of faith. It's so we can all come together as the body of Christ and accomplish what he has us to accomplish at hand. And many times it's helping one another, being there for one another. Who in here knows that they can get better at checking in on one another? I know I can. Hands not raised, so I can get you to raise yours. We can get better at being there for one another. So he sought companionship. That's one thing Daniel did right. He had unity with faithful friends. The second one we find, he sought the Lord in humility. He sought the Lord in humility. He worshiped and blessed God. He goes through and says, he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changes the times, the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have no understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we have asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel found the answer that no one else could find because he did those three things. He found people of like-mindedness. He found people that believed the same thing. He humbled himself before God and said, God, you're the only answer. He worshiped and blessed God. He went to sleep knowing it didn't rely on him, but it relied on him receiving from one that was giving. Daniel knew it did not rely on him, but yet it relied on him. Because if he did not do those things, God would have not answered. So it's not that we sit back casually waiting for God to help us in this situation. No, we sit back actively, passionately, with hunger for God to answer, for God to reveal. We don't pray prayers so they just get thrown into heaven and one day answer. No, most of the time the prayers you're praying, you want them to be answered like that, right? The prayers you're praying, you're not saying, oh, 20 years from now, yes, Lord, I'll pray for 20 years, I'll pray for this answer to come. No, our prayer and hope is that it happens right now. It happens right now. There's someone in this room, there's a couple in this room, that there's something very specifically you've been praying for, and you've come to the place where you don't even know how to pray anymore. You do not know how to pray anymore because it's so exhaustive. It feels so hard. And the Lord wants you to know you can simplify that prayer by a place of humility and brokenness. And it can be an ugly prayer. There's been tears locked up because of hardness of heart in this room. And I believe after today, I see someone going to their bedroom tonight. After church today, maybe a couple of you. And I see you breaking before the Lord, tears flowing out. Not even a word spoken, and I believe God's going to give an answer because of those tears sown today. Would you believe that for me? I believe there's some of you tonight, you need to go to the Lord in prayer and pray it again, but in a different way, of humility, of letting go of. Many times, who in here can attest? We're getting off on this, but I want to get so personal with you because I'm ministering to you, not someone else. Is I believe many times we pray the answer we want, instead of praying the problem we have. We present to God with preconceived answers and ideas instead of simply the raw problem, the raw issue, and we need to take it in and of ourselves. God, there's issues. And many times, we're the issue. And he can come down, and I believe he can give a gracious, timely, speedily answer that we need in the midst of the season that we may be walking through. Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. This is what the NLT version says. It says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. They don't know me. The whole point of today is not so you can know how to pray better. The whole point of today is not so you can know how to climb a mountain better and be okay with you don't know what's behind in the cave. The whole purpose of today is so you can know God better. Because guess what? We serve a God that is knowable. We don't serve a God that is the unknown God or the Well Family Worship Center of the unknown God. No, we serve a God that is able to be known. He's able to be understood. Yet we can search for all eternity and we will never find everything of him. But every day there's a secret in the kingdom of God to be unlocked and unveiled for you and I. And all we have to do is take the unknown situation and properly walk it out like Daniel and his companions. And I believe we can find out what we need to find out. See, complications are not meant to be complained about. They're meant to be prayed about. They're not meant to be to bring confusion. They're meant to bring clarity over our life. They're opportunity for us to rely on the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of ourselves. We don't hold the answer in and of ourselves. Only God does. And I'm actually going to have whoever's going to be joining me up here on piano or guitar, you can go ahead and come up. I want us to begin to wrap this up in a timely manner, and I want us to close out with a few different thoughts that we find in this story and different truths in the midst of it. But Psalms 25:14, it says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant, the secrets of the Lord. So there are secrets of God that are waiting to be spoken to you and me. And the answer to reveal the key to that secret to get into that door is simply to fear God. The Chaldeans feared the king more than they feared God. They feared the circumstance more than they feared God. They feared what would come of their life more than they feared the one that could save their life. We many times, like the Chaldeans, look to the problems more than we look to the one who has the answer to our problems. And after today, I pray and I hope that each of us find a way to seek the Lord like never before in the midst of what we're going through. And I believe because of the fear of the Lord, we can have secrets of the Lord. We can have things revealed to us. Another scripture that I want to cover just quickly, Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Say perfect peace. Doesn't that sound nice? Not impartial peace, not maybe peace. No, a perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We must trust the Lord in the midst of what we're going through. And you can stand to your feet right now. I want to take a few, we're not going to wrap up in 30 seconds, but we're not going to take 30 more minutes, trust me. But I want us to take a sober judgment of where we're at right now. Of what you may be going through that you wish at the snap of a finger the answer could come. That you wish at the snap of a finger you could just sit back and it just casually take place. It's not by your own strength, but you have a part in the story. It's not by your own successes, but God wants you to be successful in his kingdom. It's not by your prayer alone, it's by his answer that he gives, but he wants you to pray nonetheless. And peace, I believe this, and I found it true in my life. Peace is sometimes not the presence of that something I think needs to come, but rather the absence of the thing that I don't want. And many of us in this room are trying to find peace when the thing comes to our doorstep. When we need to be kicking things out of our doorstep that are not bringing peace. It's not always the fulfillment of something, but it's the absence of another thing that we don't need in our life. You don't need anxiety. You don't need stress and worry. You don't need fear and concern for your future. I can assure you this by trying it. It does not lead you to a place of peace. But the word of God, it says this, it says, He will give us a peace that surpasses understanding. It'll surpass your knowledge. It'll surpass what you can grasp in and of yourself. And it can come in at the right time, in the right place, and it can minister to you. So leaving with this, and then we'll give a response. The unknown, we found these people walking through it. It produced three different things for one and three different things for the other. For one, the unknown situation, the hardship, the trials, the mountain that they were facing produced fear, frustration, and ultimately failure. But for Daniel and his companions, this is what it produced. The same situation produced faith, it produced friendships, and it produced fulfillment in God's eyes. And that's the life that you and I are called and destined to live, a life full of faith. Faith is not by what we see, but it's by what we don't see. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We walk by the things that we know to be true in the Word of God, not by the things we know to be true in reality in front of us. A faithful life, a life full of friendships and faithful friends, a life full of fulfillment in the Word of God. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to close your eyes again. And if you're finding yourself in a place that seems to be cluttered, it seems to be a little chaotic emotionally, mentally, maybe relationally, and you've been praying a long time, or maybe you're convicted because you haven't been praying at all. Maybe you feel like you already know the answer, but I may remind you that those that know it all may not know God at all. And every eye closed right now, if you like, and if you want to respond to that, I just ask you to lift your hand so we know who to pray for. Maybe you're that couple that's been seeking answers. Maybe you're that one that's been hoping for the thing to come to pass. Maybe you're one that's been stressed about finances and promotion, and or maybe that prodigal has yet to return. Whatever you may find yourself in, you see that mountain, you see that cave at the top of it, and it begins to give stress and anxiety. But I believe today, as we begin to pray, and if you did not lift your hand, I believe then that you are called to intercede. So I just want us to pray right now as we close. And I want voices to be lifted up. And I want to remind each of you, those that raised your hand, even if it's down now, the Lord saw your hand and He sees your heart most importantly. That the answer, yes, may come in a dream. The answer, yes, may come in an envelope. The answer, yes, may come by the boss saying, hey, this is where we're going to take you. Hey, the answer, but I guarantee you this, the answer will definitely come when you link arms with a companion. You link arms with like-minded believers walking by faith. So Father, right now, I just begin to pray over your people this morning. Come on, those in this room that believe that you have a heart for these people could begin to pray. Father, I pray right now for those in this room that are walking through whatever they're walking through, God, that is birthing anxiety. It's birthing fear. It's birthing concern. It's birthing hardship. It's birthing trials and tribulations that they feel like they cannot get through them, God. I ask that you would come in this moment right now. Those that are losing sleep right now, those that are tossing and turning at night, not knowing what their tomorrow holds and even not wanting to wake up for tomorrow because of what it does hold. God, I ask right now, there would be a testimony today. God, I ask that tonight there would be a testimony, an actual one through a text message, through a phone call with a pastor saying, I slept the most sweet sleep that I've ever slept tonight because I prayed, because I trusted God, because I laid hold of Him instead of my own concern and care towards the problem. I look to the one that can conquer the problem. God, I ask that today we would go beyond this and we would begin to see the things that are in front of us, not as a concern and a care, but you care for us and are concerned for us. God, I ask that those in this room that are limited in their knowledge and understanding, I thank you that by the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I ask that we would be a church that would fear you more. We would be a body that would fear you more. God, I ask that we wouldn't be like those in the book of Acts in Athens, God, that would have an altar called the Unknown God. But I thank you that we know very well who we serve. We serve the one true God. We serve Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Jesus, that your word promised. You said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. God, I ask that you would just begin to step in the midst of us right now, in the midst of your people, to bring the comfort. I speak healing over any broken heart. I speak clarity over any chaos. I speak a peace that surpasses understanding. And if anybody in this room doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I ask, if it's new and afresh, if it's a recommitment, I ask right now that they would call to you as a Lord and as Savior for the remission of their sins, the repentance of their heart, and so they can walk in the fullness of the calling and the grace that you've called them to walk in. Lord, we love you today. And I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And that is ultimately the guideline, the GPS system that we need to get to our destination that you've called us to walk in and drive in, Lord. We love you this morning. And I speak peace, peace over your church. In Jesus' name. I want to speak a blessing over you if you would lift your hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May his Holy Spirit be ever near to your heart. May his word be that which guides you and leads you. And may you find companionship in the body of Christ and link arms with one another and find Jesus in your midst. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Some reminders, once again, a shameless plug. In August, summer hunger, say summer hunger. I need you to blow away your pastors by the amount of signups. I need you to show up. I want there to be standing room only because I'm coming and I'm going to be exhausted from Youth Camp Difference Maker next week. Trust me, I'm going to be exhausted and I'm coming because I'm hungry for the Word of God. I'm hungry for the move of the Spirit. And I believe that after this month and into August, this church can be transformed because guess what? You're here and God is moving your life. Amen. We love you. We hope you all have a blessed day. Bake sale, bake sale. Can you say bake sale? Look at me. Empty your wallets because I want as many youth at Difference Maker Camp to come as possible. Y'all know the drill. Y'all go back there, check it out. And guess what? This is what I did last week. Shameless. I cranked up a few prices. I saw 45 and I said, I'm making it 55. And some of the person that really wanted it, they made it 65. $20 right there, baby, for the kingdom of God. I can be vulnerable and honest with you, right? Amen. So Tanner back there, if you see him with a pen, you know what he's doing. And yeah, you know what he's doing. So we love y'all. Check out the DMC bake sale. Buy me something, and I'll be sure to eat it for lunch. We love y'all.